The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Eternal God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated for the children's sermon. Mr. Tyler,
hello.
Come on up.
Great. It's 9:42 in the morning. Let me check my other watch. It's 9:43, actually. This one says 9:42. It's a minute ahead. I have two watches. Good question. Why? Have you guys ever been surfing?
Yeah,
you have. If you haven't, you've got to try it. It's so much fun. So there's a time on this watch and time on this watch, and they're different. And there are times in your lives that will be different. And there's two main times, times when you're busy and times when you can relax. And while you're surfing, you also have those times. I went surfing yesterday, and I kind of realized that. One, when you're busy, you're working hard to get out past the wave so you can get in a good spot and just sit there. So you're working hard. You got to paddle. It's really hard to paddle out there.
I like the surfboard.
Yeah, and you got to paddle out there to get out to those waves, huh?
Yeah.
So when you get out there, you're paddling really hard. You're getting really tired. You're doing a lot of work to get out there. Sometimes you got to go under the wave, or if you're just playing in the water.
It's
hard. Seriously, it is. So it's hard to do that. And then when you get out there, you have times where you can just sit. And you can look for the waves and wait for the waves. I don't wear my glasses in the water. But, yeah. And so the reason that I have two watches, because this watch is for the land. I can wear this one around and it doesn't get dirty, it doesn't get wet, and that's fine. This watch is what I call waterproof. And that means I can take it surfing with me. So this is my surfing watch. You guys want to see it? It's nice and blue. It's kind of cool. So when I'm out there, I work hard a lot, and I also am able to just sit and watch and enjoy myself in the ocean. And then a wave comes, and you hop on the wave, and you ride that wave down, and it's so much fun. And that was a great time. It was full of joy. So in this book called the Bible, you read a story about Jesus and these two women. One of them's working really hard, and that was her time to work, and she was working really hard. And this other woman was just listening to Jesus and the things that he had to tell to her. And you guys are going to learn more and more that there's a time to relax and there's also a time to work. And for Jesus, that was his time to teach. And there are times for everything, and you might have different watches to tell you what time it is, but there's a time for everything, and it's really cool. So right now, it's time for me to send you guys off to Sunday school. So I'm going to have you carry the Bible because you raised your hand first. Next time, I promise. So, why don't we send them off and sing them out?
A reading from Genesis. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of the Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah, and said, "Make ready quickly three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? Those lead a blameless life and do what is right, speak the truth from the heart. They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back the word. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
Glory to God.
Amen. A reading from Galatians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of the cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
I like the hospitality theme in these readings today. Abraham welcoming three strangers who came unannounced to his tent. And then the story of Martha and Mary, Martha welcoming Jesus, an invited guest, into her home. And when Jesus comes into her home, Martha demonstrates great hospitality by welcoming him into the home that she shares with her sister Mary. And then she gets busy about the many tasks of serving her guests. Meanwhile, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. Rather than assuming the role that is expected of women in her culture, Mary takes her place at the feet of Jesus. She takes the posture of a student at the feet of the rabbi, a role traditionally reserved for men. This nice domestic scene takes a sharp turn when Martha, distracted by many tasks that she has, comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." Now, some of us really cheer for Mary. Mary, who tosses aside the traditional roles, and rather than do kitchen work, she's sitting listening to the guest in the living room. Some of us cheer for Martha, and we can understand her resentment. I was just going to ask the acolyte who was sitting next to me, "Where'd you go, Jacob?" Okay, well, then I can ask him. I will ask Hannah instead. Hannah, has Jacob ever gone to your mom and said, "Hannah's not doing what she's supposed to do"? Has that ever happened? Yeah, well, brothers and sisters do this as much as sisters and sisters. Complain and resent the work that the other is not doing, leaving her to do all the work. Martha complains. It only seems fair, we think, that the sisters should share in the work. But this story isn't about what's fair or about the importance of reflection over action or listening over work or even prayer over hospitality. Really, this story is about seeing what is possible. Martha's work was what was expected of her. Guests were coming, and Martha, the harried hostess, gets busy making sure that everything is just right. That was, and still is, for many of us, what is expected for the women to do. This work of hospitality is really important, and it was very valued in the ancient world. Last week we heard this great story, one of Jesus' favorite stories, about the Good Samaritan who extended hospitality to his neighbor. Hospitality is gospel living. Hospitality is expected then in the ancient world and now. What was not expected, a possibility that opened wide, Mary took the position of a disciple. Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to him teach. Now, if hospitality is what was considered women's work, discipleship, being a student of the rabbi, that was what was expected of men. Luke gives us lots of examples of women who are important in the ministry and in the mission of Jesus. But more often than not, those roles for women in Luke's gospel are supportive roles, providing resources and hospitality for the men, for Jesus and his disciples who followed him, who listened to him. But Mary took her place as one who was worthy to be a disciple, worthy to sit at Jesus' feet and listen and learn right along with the men. So maybe Jesus' admonition to Martha about the better part is not about the things that they were doing, the roles that each plays, but rather that Mary sees the possibility of doing something different, of actually being someone different. Mary acted as a disciple of Jesus in a way that few would expect a woman to consider. Mary imagines and lives into the possibility that stretches the cultural norm as she sits at the feet of the one through whom God said and promised that all things are possible. Our world needs some stretching, some serious stretching right now. Our world needs to see new possibilities for how to live together. New possibilities of how God's vision of this world could be. The massacres in Orlando and Dallas and Nice, and Vic just told me in Baton Rouge this morning. The resistance that we have to admitting refugees. The hate and the fear that has plagued this current election campaign. I think all of these things seem to be connected to our penchant to hold on so tightly to our own cultural norms and our expectations that we refuse to see others as God sees others. And we can't see, then, the new possibilities that God is yet unfolding before us. We live in a world and in a culture that constantly draws lines between who's in and who's out, who counts and who doesn't count, who deserves respect and love and who doesn't deserve respect and love. Our world needs to be stretched. We need to be stretched. We need to imagine a new way. It's so clear that when you draw a line between who's in and who's out, you will inevitably find Jesus on the other side. The problem with Martha is not that she was on the wrong side, the side of being busy with serving and providing hospitality, but rather that she was worried and distracted. The literal meaning of the word distracted is being pulled or dragged in different directions. Martha was distracted. Anybody else ever get distracted? It didn't leave any room for the most important aspect of hospitality. That's giving attention to the guest. Martha, in fact, breaks the rules of hospitality by trying to embarrass her sister in front of their guest, and then asking the guest to intervene in this family squabble. She tries to guilt Jesus. Don't you care? She tries to guilt Jesus into being on her side in this disagreement. You know how well that's going to go. Mary's worry and distraction keep her from being present with Jesus. Her distraction draws a line between herself and her sister. It draws a line between herself and Jesus. She missed out on the one thing necessary for true hospitality. There is nothing greater in hospitality than attentive listening to your guest, drawing a circle that includes the guest. And how much more when that guest is Jesus? So Jesus says Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. But hear Jesus' words, not so much to Martha, not so much as a rebuke, not so much as a finger wagging, as just a, Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted about many things. You really only need to be concerned about one thing. The one thing that Martha needs is to receive the gracious presence of Jesus, to listen to his words, to know that there's possibilities for her, to know that she is valued, not for what she does or how well she does it, but that she is valued for who she is, a precious child of God. Last weekend, I was in South Dakota for a class reunion and for some family gatherings. Wow, people are so busy. It was a monumental task to get people together just for a couple of hours. One of my nieces lives in New York, and this was her first time back to South Dakota in a little over two years. It seems easier these days for grandma and grandpa to go to New York than it is for them to come back to South Dakota. they have to juggle all the schedules. Two kids, two working parents, just easier to go the other way. Their schedules are so busy. And the kids are only 2 and 4. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when they're teenagers? They already have extracurricular activities. There's play groups, there's school programs, there's dance class, and get this, the 2-year-old has been in a class for probably 6 months or better, baby DJ. Google it. It's a real thing. It was hilarious, right, Grayley? We looked at it the other night. Little kids, little babies with earphones on the turntables. And the parents have lots of activities, too, with going to work and community affairs and getting to the gym and playing sports and congregational responsibilities and family activities as well. I don't think there's any downtime in that family. How about in your family? How about in your life? Downtime. In this culture of hectic schedules and so much to do, we are tempted to measure our worth by how busy we are, by how much we accomplish, by how well we meet the expectations of others. I think this scripture lesson today can teach us a truth. A lot of people identify with Martha, being pulled in different directions, feeling worried and distracted by many things. That seems to be a common thread in the life of our fast-paced world. And yet Jesus says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? We know that worrying does no good. And that much of what we worry about is really not that important in the greater scheme of things. And yet, we can't quite seem to quell our anxious thoughts or our frantic activity. It's true that so much of our busyness and distractions come from the noblest intentions. We want to provide for our families. We want to give our children every opportunity to enrich their lives. We want to be of service to our neighbors and to our community. We want to serve the Lord. Where would our church community be without people who are focused on the tasks of hospitality and outreach that make our congregations such welcoming places? We need people like Martha and Betty. Where are we without people who are focused on serving? Betty did a good job of teaching Tyler how to step in and take care of things. So we have Cookie Sunday today. Since Betty wasn't here to make the announcement, please sign up to host a coffee hour. We need people like that. But I think that sometimes we let our Marthas do too much. We let our Marthas be too busy. All of these activities leave us no time to be still in the presence of the Lord, no time to listen to God's word. We end up then, if we're so focused on that service and outreach, we end up being anxious and troubled. We end up then with our service and our hospitality lacking love and joy, and we end up resenting those other people. Don't you think it's about your turn? You know, we get that attitude. We allow that attitude to sneak into our lives, and then we've lost the joy of being responsive to that call to be of service. It takes both listening and doing, receiving God's word and serving others. That's vital to Christian life, just like inhaling and exhaling. You can't breathe without both. We can't live in community without service and listening. Jesus invites us all who are worried and distracted by many things to sit and rest in his presence. We're invited to hear his words of grace and truth and to know that we are loved and valued not for what we do, but for who we are, the children of God. We're invited to be renewed in faith and strengthened for service. And there's only one thing necessary, and that is to give attention to the guest. And the good news is that the guest is also our host, with abundant gifts to give to us, with the words of truth that inform our everyday lives. You are loved. You are valued for who you are, a precious child of God. And we pray, stretch us, Lord. Stretch us to see all in the world as you see, our brothers and our sisters in the inclusive circle of your grace and mercy. Your work, our hands. Amen.